All right. Well, good morning. How are you guys today? Very cool. Just a quick question as we get started this morning. How many of you have had caffeine or some form of coffee or Coke or tea? Okay. Well, just a little warning for you. I've actually had now two servings of coffee. And I warn you because I'm actually known for speaking kind of fast. And whenever I have coffee, I actually speak a little faster. So listen, if you find that you're having a hard time keeping up with me this morning, we have some wonderful coffee in the back. Just take a little time out, go recharge, come back in. I'll be here. You won't offend me at all. In all seriousness, I want to welcome you all to River City Church. My name is Jonathan. For those of you who don't know me, I want to just tell all of you that are our guests and echo what Eddie Davis said earlier. We are glad you're here today. Very pumped that you're here. You're our VIPs. We have designed this place with you in mind, so we hope that you enjoy yourself. And outside of putting your card in the bucket, that's all we require of you, okay? Just enjoy yourself with us today. Today, we are going to finish up this series I began 2 weeks ago entitled Simple. And when I started this series, I actually began with a lot of prayer and a lot of study. And over these past 2 weeks, and even today, I've had one primary focus. And I want to share with you what that heart has been, what my focus has been. And that has been that each week when I've spoken and I've opened Scripture with you guys and we've looked at what God has had to say, that my heart has been is that I would as simply and as clearly as possible share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. All things Jesus, who He is, what He said, what He was all about, and what is otherwise known as the gospel. That has been my passion. That has been my heart this past few weeks. Now, the exciting thing for me has been, outside of getting to prepare and teach and share with you guys, has been these past 2 weeks, you guys have actually encouraged me a lot. You've made this series a lot of fun because you've actually given me a lot of feedback. I've received messages from some of you on Facebook, and I've received emails from you, and I've received some face-to-face interactions with you and after our gathering, and it's all been good, which is always good for a guy who gets up here and is pretty vulnerable, you know, trying to communicate, but all of it's been good. But here's what's been cool about your feedback. Your feedback has had an impact on me, believe it or not. These past couple weeks, as I've shared this stuff and these thoughts, you know, with my heart being what it is and my motive being what it is, what has been cool is that as you have shared your learnings with me, what it has done is it has taken this passion that I believe God's put inside of me that was really the whole heart behind this series, and it's helped just kind of quadruple it exponentially, just to have an impact on me. And here's why, is that over the past couple weeks, after you have listened to these talks and read Scripture with me, some of your stories have kind of gone like this. You know, Jonathan, I've heard these teachings of Jesus before. And I've heard these stories of Jesus before. But I never understood that these teachings by Jesus were in this context. I never understood that when Jesus went up to the tax collector's table and saw Matthew, that Matthew being a tax collector was really seen as the scum of the earth, as far outside of spiritual people as you could possibly be. I never knew that. And as you guys shared this with me, here's what happened. Is inside of me, what I started thinking was, is that, you know, I knew it was true that many of us have found the good news of Jesus or the gospel to be confusing and draining. But what I didn't recognize was is that so many of us that have been in church a lot, or maybe even in or out of church quite a bit, or even those who have just been kind of on the outside looking in, that there's really not that much difference between all of us. There's really not. Because for each and every one of us that have been in church or exposed to church or bounced around in church, whatever our situation has been, the similarities that we have in common has been that for us, in some form or another, this story has been confusing. And this story has been draining. And for some of us, I think what we've kind of gotten to the point of is that we think, you know what? This is just the way it is. That when I look to my right, when I look to my left, everyone else seems to be confused and drained by it, so I guess that's just normal. Well, I want to tell you, the story of Jesus is not confusing. The story of Jesus is not complicated. The story of Jesus is not draining. The story of Jesus is simple. The story of Jesus is life-giving. And I hope these past 2 weeks, and I hope today, my heart is I want to set you free by God doing it, but set you free from this spirit or this thought or this belief that this is all there is. Because guys, I'm telling you, God wants you to experience the greatest life you've ever experienced. So today, we're going to pick up part three. We're going to talk about a four-letter word, obey. You saw it on the intro video. And this is a word, believe it or not, that borderlines, I believe, in many of our vocabularies and many of our minds around that of a curse word. You agree with that? Whenever you hear someone say obey, you just tend to have something in you that just kind of does this, doesn't it? When someone comes up to you and says obey, especially as an adult, right? As an adult, you don't like it. You definitely didn't like it as a kid, but today you're like, no. But the word obey is one that if you have a high D personality, which I do, someone says obey to me, my immediate reaction is this. No way. You don't walk in here high-stepping with me. You don't come to me that way. But what's been kind of interesting for me is I've had some interesting situations over the past year that has actually opened my eyes more to this situation of obedience. And it really started last year. And some of you know my story, and I'll humor some of you with my story a little bit. I am not a professional clergy from a long time standing period. Okay, that has not been my career. My career has been in the business world, probably like some of you or many of you have been, for about 14 years. But throughout that time period, I was a part-time bivocational dude that helped my dad in a church, stuff like that. But last year, my world started changing, and I started entering into this world of becoming a pastor. And one of my first experiences was that last fall, I was asked to do my very first wedding. Now, here's the cool thing about doing your first wedding. You have nothing to measure up to. You've been in a lot of terrible weddings, I'm sure, like I have, where you're like, please, God, I don't need another sermon. And so as I was approaching this wedding, the coolest thing about it was for my sister-in-law, so it's family, so if I screw it up, it's just family, right? It was in Destin, so not many people were going to be there, would even know me. And so it would, you know, the time or the travel from that information up here, if it sucked, you know, it wouldn't be as bad. And so as I was preparing for this, the first thing I had to do, guys, I had to start from scratch. I needed vows, okay? I did not want to write their vows. I didn't know how to do that. So I started contacting some trusted pastors that were friends of mine. And one guy that's a good buddy of mine in Ohio, I emailed him, and his name is Dean. And I said, Dean, listen, bud, I need help. I'm doing my first wedding. I have no idea what I'm doing. Please send me some vows. So he sent me two vows or scripts of vows. Now, one was called traditional. One was called contemporary. Well, I'm not a traditional guy, so I took the traditional one with all the these and thous. I set it aside. I took the contemporary. And as I started looking at it, preparing for this wedding, I started reading through it, and I started going through the guys. You know, they had the guy and the girl turn to each other, holding each other's hands, repeat after me. And I read through the guy's part. It was cool. And then I got to the girl's part. Now, I'm going to fill in the names. Her name was Kathleen, and here's Brian, was who she was marrying. And here's how it goes. It said, Kathleen, would you please repeat after me? Brian, on the basis and with the aid of the Holy Spirit, so good so far, I commit myself to you to be a completer. I don't know what movie it's from, but you know it says, you complete me. It's kind of, I think of that every time I read that. I almost laugh when I'm doing a wedding. It's not good. But to be a completer and a helpmate to you. Now, here's where it gets really fun. I promise to submit myself. Ladies, y'all love that, don't you? In joyful obedience to you. Man, I thought, guys, could you imagine going home every day and saying, honey, obey me. And you know, when I heard that and I saw that I immediately went, okay, I'm trying to imagine Melissa, who this past Sunday we were married for 12 years, right? So I know her pretty darn well. And I'm thinking, if I went to Melissa and said, babe, obey me, she'd say, whoa, hello. That's about probably what happened. I would scream because she would probably come at me and say, I'll show you how to obey, and would, you know, give me the foot. That's what I was thinking about. And so as I was thinking through obedience or obey, I started thinking through, you know, all of us today tend to cringe when you hear or think of the word, as an adult for sure, obedience. And just a long story short, I'll tell you, I ended up meeting with Kathleen and telling Kathleen, hey, I don't really like this word. I don't know if you do. That's pretty strong language. How about we change this to, I promise to follow your leadership. She agreed, and that's what we went with. But as I thought through it, obedience just is one of those words that when you think about it, I don't care who you are, generally speaking, you tend to just kind of go, man, I'm resistant to that. Man, I just don't know about that. Or, you know, I'm hesitant of that. And what's so true today is that when it comes to church, when it comes to spiritual things, many of us think of church is really all about a place where you get together. You get a guy like me up here, because I've been where you're sitting today, I promise. And I get up here, and all I do is rant and rave over what I think you need to be doing and not doing. You with me? And then you sit there, and you may, out of politeness, just nod your head and go, yep, mm-hmm, or nope, and so forth. And really what you're thinking is okay, Jonathan, get it all out, and then I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. You with me? That is how many of us think of the church. Many of us have come to the belief and come to the thought process that the church is really a place where all it is a list of do's and don'ts, thou shalt, thou shalt not, and that there is a guy like me that is in essence standing up here trying to tell you how to run your life. Now, the unfortunate thing about that is that for many of us, as we think through that experience, what the Christian experience has become for most of us is something that is really, really draining. Because unfortunately today, whenever you go to any place and you place yourself underneath the leadership of any person, and that person does this to you, whether it's verbal or whether it's even physical, what it makes you want to do is just push back and say, no. And unfortunately today, what we know is the result of this, the consequences of this, is that many, many people today are really getting tired of that. Many, many people are just saying, you know, I'm done with that. I'm tired of playing the game. And I just want to distance myself from that altogether. Well, as you look at what's going on today and what we've looked at the past 2 weeks, I believe there is a very, very tight correlation between what's happening with most leaders that are spiritual and most organizations that are spiritual and that which took place in the day of Jesus that was what was known as the religious elite or the Pharisees. Much that's happening today is very, very similar to that. Because back in the day of Jesus, and we all saw this the past 2 weeks, is that when Jesus came on the scene, the people who were underneath the teaching and the leadership of these religious elite all really felt like that all they were told to do was do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And to them, it was as if they said they were heaping burdens on their shoulders, heaping burdens on their back that they could not carry on their own. And along comes Jesus, and when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus immediately had an impact in that environment, as we've seen. The people who were the most unlike Jesus started drawing close to Jesus, and they started liking Jesus. And what was even more fascinating was is that Jesus liked them. And on and on and on, as you look at it, you saw there was this fresh perspective. There was this difference between Jesus and between what they were under as they experienced their spiritual situation back then. Well, guys, today, as you think about your church experience, as I think about mine, when you feel that it's draining, when you feel that it's not life-giving, unfortunately, I believe what you're experiencing is something that Jesus came into the world and he countered very, very directly. But here's where it kind of gets confusing sometimes. When Jesus actually was crucified on the cross, we know he was buried for 3 days and then he arose from the tomb. After Jesus arose, he went out on a hillside and in front of hundreds of people, he was about to ascend back into heaven. And as Jesus stood there, Jesus had his last famous words for his followers. And here's what he said. I want to put these on the screen for you. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Here's what he said. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus gets up, he looks in front of all these hundreds of people, and he says, guys, I'm about to go back to heaven, but I want to give you what is known as the Great Commission. That I want you to go out, I want for you to get people to become followers of me, disciples of mine, learners of me, of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then to teach them to observe. Now the funny thing is today is that many of us here would say, yep, I've observed the commandments of Jesus or the commandments of God for a long time. You grew up in a home with the Ten Commandments hanging on your wall? Any of you did that? Or you saw them? Yep, me. Me too. And as you walk through and you look at this, many of us would say we would observe the commandments of God. But actually the word there that Jesus uses, believe it or not, the meaning of that word is obey. And so the last words of Jesus when he shared this with his followers is he said, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. I want you to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So here's where the interesting thing to me comes in. Is that today, most of our spiritual experiences have been going and sitting in rows like you are today, listening to a guy like me rant and rave, and all we tend to do oftentimes is tell you what to do. How you need to obey this, how you need to do this, how you don't need to do that. And yet when you leave, you feel completely drained a lot. Are you with me? That your experience has been, yeah, I just don't get it. I don't, you know. And then finally, some of you have literally in your past or maybe even right now, you've left altogether because you said, it's not something that really gives me joy. It's not even something that really seems to bring energy or life to my life. And yet Jesus, when he left the earth, he said, you need to go and teach them to obey.
everything I commanded. So is what we're doing today right? Or is what we're doing today wrong? Is this just the way it is? Well, here's the incredible news. Okay, I have good news for you. We'll unpack this in just a second. The difference between Jesus and the difference between what I see happening today oftentimes in these environments is that we looked at the context of Jesus and how he approached people. And see, the way in the context in which oftentimes churches or spiritual leaders or others approach people is very, very, very different today than that of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus actually when he came into contact with people that were so much unlike him. Here's how he started. He went up to them and he said, "Follow me. Come and hang out with me. See what I say. See what I do. Be my friend." That's how Jesus always started. We saw this with Peter and Andrew. We saw this with Matthew at the tax collector table. And Jesus started with an invitation to enter into a relationship with him. Last week we looked at that Jesus also, when he approached people, after he had this huge following of literally thousands and thousands of people, Jesus now took that from that crowd and he said, "Now guys, here's the next step. You need to know this. The God that many of you view as a cosmic killjoy, as a tyrant, as someone that's all about thou shalt's and thou shalt not's, he's really not that way. He's your Father. And he loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent me to come to this earth as the bread of life. And that any of you who believe in me will never hunger and will never thirst ever again." And as we discussed last week, that really brings a lot of meaning and a lot of context to John 3:16 when we look at it where it says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life." That Jesus, his approach was through a relationship with people. Whereas the starting point that many of you have experienced and what I've experienced today when it comes to our spiritual experience is about rules. It's about do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But what you notice with Jesus is he didn't do that. Jesus didn't come on the scene and say, "Hey, bud, go and ceremonially clean yourself and then come with me. Hey, bud, go quit doing this and quit doing that and then come with me." No, he just said, "Come hang out with me. Come follow me. I want you to enter into a relationship with me." And as these people saw Jesus, and as they saw that Jesus had their best interest in mind, and as Jesus started sharing with them that their Father in heaven loved them, and that's why he sent Jesus, that's when Jesus said, "Believe in me." The problem today, guys, unfortunately for many of us, is that our experience does not line up with the way that Jesus did it. Our experience for many of us has been that these leaders have tried to control you. They tried to change your behavior. Where Jesus came and tried to control or change the heart through a relationship. It is so different than someone doing this. Because you know what? God didn't create you to carry rules all the time. God didn't create you to try to do it all on you and make it all about you and how good you are and how good you can be. God created you for a relationship. God created you for something that gives you life. And only through a relationship with God can you find true life. And so today I want us to look at a passage, and I love this passage because I believe over these past couple weeks, everything we've built upon, where Jesus said, "Follow me," Jesus said, "Believe," this will actually tie together the rest of this story of the simple message of Jesus. And it's found in 1 John chapter 5. If you want to turn with me over to 1 John chapter 5, we're going to look at just 3 verses, not 40 like we did last week. We're going to look at 3 verses, but turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The author of this letter is actually the same author that we read last week, and his name was John. John was one of the inner 3 disciples of Jesus. He was the one that when Jesus was on the cross and was dying, he said, "John, I want you to take care of my mom." He cared for John, he trusted John, and he trusted John with his own mother. And so John, later in his life, is writing these words, and here's what John had to say. Listen to this. This is powerful. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." Just as we looked at last week, Jesus said that if you want to have everlasting life, you must believe in me, that I am the bread of life. John says it again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been what? Born of God. Look with me. "And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. By what? By this. And look what he's about to say. When we love God and obey His commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. The story of Jesus, the life of Jesus, is very, very simple. Jesus came on the scene and He offered an invitation, as He offers today throughout time. And He says this, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I came not to sit here and to be another rule teller, another law giver. I came to set you free from all that. I came to enter into a relationship with you. I came because your Father in heaven loves you, and I ask you to follow me. And then as Jesus looked at him, he says, and I want for you to believe in me. And guys, I want to tell you right now, this is the part right here that is so, so incredible for us as people. Is that when you get to the point to where you understand that God loves you, and that God loves me, and that He sent His Son so that we have been separated from God through sin, that He sent us because He didn't want that separation there, that when we believe in Jesus, that separation is removed. That when you get to that and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the bread of life, when you get there, the only response to that belief, out of that belief, the only response to seeing your Father in that way is what? Love. It's love. 1 John 4:19, John said it this way. We love. Why? Because He first loved me. We love because He first loved me. The reason why you, the reason why I have all struggled with sitting in a service like this and hearing someone do this to you all night or all morning or whatever, and you sitting there and going, okay, I want to do that. The reason why you struggled with it is because oftentimes it's communicated that it's not through a relationship. It's just rules. It's just a bunch of law. It's just a bunch of stuff. And no one will continue to live their lives and obey and obey and obey when there is nothing in a relationship that is giving you life. And Jesus says, no, no, no. It's all about a relationship. It's all about love. It's all about the love that God has for you. And if you believe in me, you can now call Him Dad. You can now call Him Father. And is what John is saying here that I think is so incredible is this. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. Because what the Scripture says is that it's impossible for you to love God and not love others that are children of His. It's impossible. But here's how we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, we obey His commandments. You see, the motivator for obedience is love. The motivator for your love is the love of God. God first loved you. And as you really understand that, and as you grasp that and you receive that through what He did with Jesus, you in turn love God and you say, wow, thank you, Father. And when love is filling your heart for God, for what God has done for you, then what is just normal in any relationship is that you want to obey. You want to do what He says. Because you know that what He has for you is in your best interest. What He says to do or to not do is in your best interest because He's your Father, because He loves you. And then He describes in verse 3 one more time, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. You know what's interesting to me is oftentimes when we think of the commandments of God, we think that they're in our lives to, in essence, take things away from. Kind of take your fun away, to kind of, you know, get in the way of you doing what you want to do. But do you know the reality of the commandments? Is that in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments were given by God to Moses. Remember that? Moses came down, he had Ten Commandments. The commandments were listed, it's pretty interesting. The first four are about you and God. The last six are about you and other people. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, is the longest recorded message of Jesus, where He stood up in front of all these people and He started preaching and teaching. Jesus actually gave what is known as the New Law. And under this, here's some of the things Jesus said. He said, you know, you've heard that if you go out and you commit murder, right? Like the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not murder. He said, I want to raise the ante. I want to tell you this. If you hate someone, it's as bad as you going out and killing them. Jesus said, you've heard that if you commit adultery, another Ten Commandment, that that's wrong. He said, I want to raise the ante. I want to tell you that actually if you lust after another woman, you've committed the sin inside. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where those things can't happen. And throughout all the commandments, believe it or not, Old Testament, the New Testament, you can go check this out. Every one of them are about relationship. Every one of them. Whenever God says, don't do this or do that, it's always for the purpose of making sure that the one who loves you so much that you want to obey, that it removes the hindrances out of the relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. Every one of them. For God said not to worship any other gods? Of course, right? Because if you worship other gods, then you can't clearly see God and you can't worship Him for who He is and your relationship is hindered. When God says do not commit adultery, why does He say that? Because for me to have the most intimate relationship with my beautiful wife, Melissa, then there needs to be trust there. There does not need to be anything that comes between that. Every commandment of God should be seen through the lens of trying to remove any objects out of the way that would refrain or hurt or strain the relationship you have with God first and you have with other people. That's why Jesus, when He was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? What did He say? Love God. Love each other. That's why when Paul, the apostle, wrote 1 Corinthians to the church at Corinth, and in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, look, you can be right. You can do everything right, rules and regulations. But if you don't have love, it's like banging up against a cymbal. It doesn't matter. All throughout Scripture, obedience is always around a commandment that is to make it to where you have the most incredible relationships you could have with God and with other people. You know, the sad thing is today is for many of us, because you have heard Scripture taught in such a way, because you have heard people doing this a lot, is that we all kind of, if you're not careful, become a little like resistant towards listening to truth, to Scripture. And as a result of that is whenever we've heard certain words or certain phrases or certain commandments, we just kind of tend to push back. And the reason why is because you see it as rules. You don't see it as life-giving. But God, your Father, who loves you, He shares them with you and He says, these are commandments for you. Not what I want to get from you, but what I want for you. And that is for you to have an unhindered, intimate, incredible, life-giving relationship with me and an unhindered, incredible, life-giving relationship with others around you. That is the heart of God. That is the motive of God. And I want to just, I'll bring up a couple that, and I really just wanted to kind of have just a fireside chat with y'all today, okay? And just be very vulnerable with you. But I want to bring up a couple that I know that brings a lot of strain to people. One of the ones that God brings up is He talks about not storing up treasures on earth where rust and moth destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Why does He say that? In church, many times, many people say, you need to tithe, brother, right? You need to give. You need to give your first fruits. You need to do this. You need to do that. And a lot of people today have done this, right? Resistant, push back. Well, the reason why God gives that, if you will, command, the reason why God asks you is because God doesn't need your money, all right? If you haven't figured that out, go outside, look around. God doesn't need your money, but here's what God wants. He wants your heart. He wants that relationship with you unhindered because what He knows about Jonathan is that Jonathan really likes himself a lot. And then whenever Jonathan wants what Jonathan wants, Jonathan goes and gets what Jonathan gets. And what God says is that, Jonathan, you can't worship me and money. You can't love me and love money. You have to pick. So what God does is what God is, He says to me, if you want my relationship with you to be one that is life-giving, one that is unhindered, then what I want you to do is trust me. Trust me. Instead of saying it should be as a rule, God says it's through a relationship of trust. That I want that relationship with God to be so great that the things that seem to cling to my heart and pull away my attention and my affection for God the most, God says, trust me with it. Because when you trust me with it, then you'll find that you'll have the most incredible relationship with me. And there are many others that are like that, that are commandments of God. And that is what God wants for you at the end of the day, is a loving relationship with him. The same is true in your marriage. The same is true in raising your kids. The same is true in everything. Now, today, here's what I want to challenge you with. Here's what I want to leave you with. I want for you, every time that you think about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, I want for you to think of it in the form of a relationship. A God who loves you with all of his heart, who pursued you, who could not imagine eternity without you. And knowing that that sin had to be paid for, he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to pay the price for you so that now you can call him Father. And from that love that God has shown to you, that is a motivator for your love that you have for him. And out of that love you have for God, God says, I want for you to obey. And when you obey God, that you see that the reason why you're obeying God is not because of rules, but it's because of this incredible relationship that you have with the Father, the God of the world, the God of heaven, who loves you so much. And that when you obey him, it removes all these obstacles out of your way so that you can have a great, incredible relationship with him. And as 1 John says, it's pretty amazing, when you obey the commandments of God, it creates unbelievable relationships with people around you as well. Because every commandment is about you and God and you and other people. Isn't that cool? It's not rules. It's relationship. That is the motive of the gospel. And let me just, can I be honest with you? Can I tell you something? When I was putting these messages together, these talks together, it's kind of easy to become a little arrogant. You know what I'm saying? You ever been there? Where you think, okay, I want them to become like me. You ever thought that? We all have. I want them to get what I get. You know what I thought about? For more years than not in my life, I've sat in rows like you. I've listened to a guy like me get up here and speak, and all the thou shouts and thou shalt nots. And guys, I was miserable. I was like, man, I'm just sick of the game. But when I started understanding more clearly that God is my dad, God loves me, God sent Jesus, I call him Father, and every command that he gives is about a relationship, it changed my perspective. And here's what it helped me do with you guys. It helped me say, I want you to experience what I'm experiencing right now because I've been where you are, and I know that it's not fun. I know it's not life-giving, but I promise you, that's not what God has for you. God wants for you to experience the most amazing relationship possible with him, with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with your coworkers, and all the others. And it comes through obedience. That's what I want you to know. So that's my prayer for you. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you that as we look at Scripture, as we see the words of John, and we look at the words, Lord, of Jesus before he ascended into heaven, that the word obey, oftentimes, Father, just kind of makes us all cringe a little. But God, I think it's just because we're all so selfish. We all want what we want. But Father, I pray for every one of us that you would help us all for the scales, if you will, to be removed from our eyes, for our eyes to be open, for us to see so clearly how much you love us. And that when you say do this or don't do that, it's not for the purpose of weighing us down, but it's for the purpose of freeing us up to experiencing you, to experiencing the vitality a relationship with the God of heaven, and to experience the relationships you've put in our lives. God, I pray for each and every one of us that where we have put obstacles in our relationship with you, God, that we would get those right with you. Where we put obstacles in our relationship with others around us, that God would get those right with them. Father, we pray that you would set us free and help us to enjoy you in worship, in spirit, and truth. In Jesus' name.